Let's go.
Welcome to Around the Cooler, the fantasy football podcast with your hosts, Brady Connors, Frankie Morales, and Daniel Acosta.
I think we need to do something special for episode 151.
Oh, nice, you know, dude.
If you catch my drift, dude.
I love that, bro.
101 has a nice ring to it.
We got to get product first for 151.
Well, we tried.
If we don't have any product, then it's just a wasted episode, dude.
Oh, we got product.
Well, good news
is we wasted it.
Good news is for 151, that's probably not going to happen for a year and a half, maybe.
Yeah, it's only going to get better.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully it's still around, dude.
I can't believe Frank and I traded and we both ended up with nothing.
I can, dude. I definitely can. This is the game we play, dude.
Only my kids were excited for your cards, Frank.
Nobody was excited for those cards.
Just Maddox. Oh, look at that.
That's a good one.
He walked away going, Alakazam, Alakazam. If you know, you know. What's up, boys?
What up?
What's up, man?
Tuesday night rips, Tuesday night pods. What else are you going to do
Ducks
on a Tuesday? Ducks fly together. Looking good so far.
A little hockey this Tuesday night.
Yeah. Always got something going. There has to be sports going on in the background. Always. Yeah. That's just my house.
That and it's the fall, bro. So it's a little easier to find something. It's not like we're in the dog days anymore. Yeah.
The kids know, like, during the week they can watch Bluey up until about 5 o'clock because that's when something starts for me. You know, whether it's basketball, football, baseball. They do like watching the Angels, which is nice. So that's always an easy one. Hey, you want to watch baseball? And then Maddox is old enough to like count and stuff, so he's like, oh, they're losing.
Kel's kind of like starting to like grasp that concept a little bit. Like, he knows Sundays. He doesn't watch TV at all.
He just knows.
I'm like, what's on TV today, son? Football day.
But is he going, oh, more football?
And he goes, more Mickey. You're not watching Mickey, dude.
No.
Unless he suddenly transformed into Josh Allen, dude. You're not watching that.
Cutter. Dude, that kid's the man.
I missed that goal, damn it.
So did I.
Cutter. So does she.
Yeah. She's hammered.
Apparently, yeah.
Oh, good D here. Another week of fantasy football. Another week of about half the league succumbing to their injuries.
Folding, yep.
This one kind of hurts. Probably hurts you the most, Brady, because you got stock in him, but... This guy was rising, dude. Five holes. Nasty. Tucker Kraft.
It's a tough one, dude.
Tore his ACL.
Finally, kind of hit me, dude. I've kind of lucked out with the injury bug this year, but it catches up to everybody, bro. And it fucked me bad.
He was the tight end one.
Yeah. My other tight end.
The moment of his injury. And I think just from an NFL standpoint, like, that offense was instantly out of sync without him, dude.
Yeah, they didn't look good, man, at all.
Kid was playing like a young George Kittle, and they lost to the Panthers. Need I say any more than that?
I got to give the Panthers some credit, though, dude. They came to play, dude.
Sneaky good, dude.
Yeah, sneaky good. Sneaky good defense.
They have a winning record, I think.
They do. Bryce Young has a winning record on the Panthers. That's incredible.
Oh, my God. Rico Dowdle has a winning record.
That's
the
reason why that team is winning anything.
And Tet, my baby boy McMillan. But, yeah, no more Tucker Kraft. You can drop him. He's done for the year. And he's a good buy low in Dynasty. See who has him in that league.
Mm-hmm.
Another week, another Jaden Daniels injury. I'm pretty sure this guy has more injuries than passing touchdowns. This one potentially being the worst out of all of them. Did you guys see it?
No.
Dislocated elbow.
He dislocated his elbow.
Oof. His throwing elbow?
No.
His non-throwing elbow, and I was watching a breakdown of it. I guess there's a couple different directions that this dislocation can go, and the way that it went was the best of the worst, right? Worst being he dislocated his elbow, but I guess if it went a different direction, it's almost guaranteed that he tore all the ligaments.
Oh, my God.
But they're saying since it didn't go that way and it dislocated a different direction, there is a chance that he can come back. Which is why we haven't heard any news on it, because they don't know how long he's going to be out. That is them saying we anticipate him coming back.
Yeah.
So we're still waiting to get results from the MRI. He's still not on IR, which they would have done right away if they knew it was going to be bad. So it's not all grim news for Jaden Daniels, but once again, if you drafted him, you're going to have to lean on somebody else. And unfortunately, I have him in multiple leagues. So
good luck, dude.
My bad, Jaden. This is my fault. This used to be Frank's boy, but he shipped him off. And that's CJ Stroud. He is concussed.
Gonzo.
It looked like a dirty hit, but once I saw the slow-mo, I guess it wasn't that dirty.
Yeah, it was clean.
Led with the shoulder, and his head just bounced right off the turf.
Yeah.
So, unknown if he's going to be missing this week. I feel like he would be, considering he was out. Aaron Jones hurt his shoulder. Status to be decided. The Vikings are saying it doesn't seem that serious. But
just fucking retired.
He didn't
dude.
Come back, dude. It went instantly. They went instantly back to Jordan Mason after that.
They just need to stick with Mason, bro. He looked so slow, dude. Did you guys watch him play at all?
I only saw the one screen that he got for a little first bit. Down.
Dude, yeah. I can't even describe it. It looked like slow-mo the way he was running, dude. He's just done, dude.
Father Time never loses.
Never.
See
Not
Alvin
once.
Kamara.
Please, no.
Puka Nacua. He's another one of those guys, dude. He's just always playing banged up. He had a rib injury. Doesn't sound like it's very serious. I imagine this being a pain tolerance situation, and I expect him to play through it. But
yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, it's just something.
It's just his style, dude.
Something
he gets
to keep
banged
an eye
up
on.
Every week.
Kayshon Boutte, and the reason why we're mentioning this no-name guy is he's a starting receiver for the Patriots, and he actually low-key has been playing pretty well. And unfortunately, he was hurt. I think he got hurt this week.
Yep.
But
because
was,
I inserted him into my lineup.
Yeah, because he's a low-end wide receiver, too.
And I killed him.
That's how well he's been doing. And unfortunately, Frank is carrying the Acosta curse. It's spreading heavily all over his body, his teams. And, yeah, Kayshon Boutte pulled up his hammy, and now he's considered day-to-day. Brian Thomas, his stat line wasn't just because he's a bust. It's because he actually hurt his ankle, and he did leave the game early, didn't come back. They're calling it a low ankle sprain. They don't expect it to be serious. And they are hoping he will practice this week. Luke McCaffrey, the other McCaffrey. Well, it runs in the family. He's injured. He broke his collarbone. Oh, and he's done for the year. Cole Kmet, concussed, which also led to the Colston Loveland breakout, which we'll get to later. And then my other son, Matthew Golden, he injured his shoulder. Unknown on the severity, but it's not like he's a viable fantasy starter right now. And Christian Watson returned, which has only took more snaps away from this kid. Samaje Perine, which I don't. The only reason why I'm mentioning this because he ended up being a pretty heavy bye week starter for a lot of people, and he got you 0 points because he injured his ankle and he never came back.
And Chase Brown is back, baby.
Chase Brown fully back. Let's go. Travis Hunter. He actually got injured during practice, and this is what they're calling a non-contact knee injury, but they're also saying that he dodged any serious damage, so he's only going on the short-term IR, meaning they do expect him to return at some point during the season. And it's a bummer for him because he was just starting to heat up. And you have the rumors of all the Brian Thomas trade, like the last game that he played, he was the focal point of the passing game. But this is just a huge setback. And we kind of talked about this off the air. I don't know if his body's going to hold up. Just plain and simple. The kid's playing, trying to play 90 snaps a game.
It's too much, dude.
Yeah.
It's
and he's not that big either. Everyone's like, he's a freak. He's an athletic freak. But, he's been dealing with injuries into college and now throughout his NFL career.
Yeah, the human body can only take
just
so much.
Just for the
bro.
Sake of, not saying you can't do it over time. I'm sure if you kept trying, but, yeah, you're going to have to pick a side, dude. Your body's not going to last more than 3 seasons in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, and also, he's not good at either right now. He's a lot better at cornerback than he is receiver. But even if he were to fully commit to one side, there's still going to be a ramp-up process for him because, fuck, dude, this is the NFL. You're playing against the top 1%. You're trying to cover the top 1% wide receivers. You're going against the top 1% cornerbacks.
Everything from whether you're trying to be the top corner or the top receiver, it's going to take you
a little
time to get there, and so just him trying to play both ways, something that might take somebody 3 years is going to take him 4. maybe five.
Did you guys see that TD route that Marvin had last night?
Oh, my God. Oh, dude, he put Bland in a blender.
No, CD was like.
I was going to say that. Yeah, I think when you know another receiver like as
completely
good as
cooked
CD
somebody.
Lamb. Well, no, like CD Lamb was like, oh, my God. Yeah. You killed
what
our teammate,
do,
yeah.
dude. Yeah, I'm surprised Bland didn't get traded after that, dude.
I think we're getting a little off topic, but this last thing I'm going to say, I think the problem was Kyler in that offense. I hate to say
it,
but
looking
that,
like
we,
it so
we're
far,
gonna
dude.
Get to it,
that
dude.
Offense looked pretty good yesterday.
Pretty damn good.
It's also the Cowboys, though. I mean,
that is true. Mm-hmm. Scary Terry, he re-injured his quad. He did not play this week, and now they're saying they expect him to be out until after the Week 12 bye, dude.
I blame the Commanders for mishandling his contract.
We were concerned about, and I think one of us said it, like, yo, stay away from this guy, dude. Older wide receiver that was not practicing all offseason, mm-hmm. trying to get a contract, like he's going to come back slow. And I think we highlighted the Brandon Ayuk situation, and look it, he's following in his footsteps, dude. And not a fantasy player, but it does affect the offense, and that's going to be Joe Alt. He re-injured his ankle, and this time he needs surgery. He's done for the year. What does that affect? Well, one, Justin Herbert has been on an absolute tear. The moment that Joe Alt got reinserted back into the offense, who is his all-pro left tackle, and instantly, Herbert's having – we haven't talked about him much, dude, but like Brady mentioned, like he's the number two quarterback for fantasy football.
Correct.
And if you give this kid time, not only will he throw, he will use the run, and he'll use the run successfully. The problem is now Joe Alt is gone. They lost the other tackle that they picked up off the street and surprisingly has been playing lights out. Like, pray for Justin Herbert, Charger owners, because the Steelers are coming to town. TJ Watt is going to eat this line alive. I don't care if they traded for Buster Trevor Penning and they gave up pennies on the dollar. Like, if when this kid does not have the line, you're gonna see the Giants game all over again, dude. It's gonna get really ugly here pretty soon. And another Charger news, Amarian Hampton, and this is coming from Jim Harbaugh. This isn't just the beat writer. Jim Harbaugh said he doesn't expect Amarian Hampton back till after the bye. So the earliest we think we will see him is week 13.
That pisses me off so bad, dude.
I will say this right now. If you're in the trade deadline and you see somebody that has any interest in Amari Hampton, you move him. In redraft, you move him. I think you move him. Get what you can. This kid, when he comes back, he's not going to be a viable starter for you. I think he's only going to carry name value for this season, dude.
I don't think he's even got name value either. I'm not going out to get Amarian Hampton without, well, knowing that Joe Alt isn't there and that this offensive
line
is in shambles.
On top of that, too, but somebody might, dude. Let's, for example, you're talking about Josh Allen, right? Like, if I would just throw him in there, dude. Oh, I could throw you Amarian Hampton. You know, maybe there's a playoff team that, like, has so many pieces. Like, oh, yeah, I could take Amarian Hampton on with the thought that he could put me over the top. That kid's not going to put you anywhere, dude. On top of him giving you such a small sample size and that offensive line being complete dog shit, like, this kid's been in a walking boot the whole time, dude. There's no way he's going to be able to ramp up enough to get back to 100% and be the guy that you need come fantasy football playoffs. Like, this will be an Isaiah Pacheco situation where he came back at the end of the year after a fracture, because I think that's what he has, and the people that I trust are saying he doesn't have a high ankle sprain. He has got a mild fracture, dude.
I think that tracks more, dude.
Like, if he's still in a walking boot,
yeah, that's
like
not good.
You're so only supposed to be in a walking boot. It doesn't matter what grade your high ankle sprain is, dude. If you're still in a walking boot, like, you should be out of that boot already, dude. So, I mean, this kid's leg's been sitting in a freaking boot for God knows how long, like. You know, if you're not doing any exercise on it, like, there's no way he's going to come back and be 100%. He's going to be Isaiah Pacheco when he came back, and he averaged, what, 2 yards a clip?
Mm-hmm.
That's what
I'm
worried about.
Kareem Hunt basically took his job.
Yep, so Amarian Hampton owners, beware. And other news, today was the trade deadline. Nothing super crazy fantasy-wise, mm-hmm. but Jacoby Myers did get traded to the Jags, which says two things. One, Travis Hunter is going to be gone. Two, they clearly don't trust Brian Thomas, or they think he might miss some time because of this injury. And three, the Jaguars think they could win because as of right now, they're sitting in a playoff spot in the wild card. So they went after and Chase got a viable piece.
That's fucking crazy to me that that shit team is in a playoff contention.
Bro, because the Chiefs lost, they jumped the Chiefs.
Damn.
I love that, dude.
I love that too, actually.
But yeah, so Jacoby, it brings him fantasy relevance right away. Because now he instantly becomes a starting piece of this offense. With or without Travis Hunter, like, he's going to become a safety valve for Trevor Lawrence, who doesn't have one. He doesn't have his tight end. Brian Thomas, I don't know where he is, but I knew he's going to suck. Travis Hunter's on the bench. He's injured. Like, they're going to force feed this kid, dude. So deeper leagues, flex position, like, yeah, I think you could fire him up. And then Rashid Shaheed. This was kind of sad because I thought Torrey Horton was breaking out.
Mm-hmm.
Rashid Shaheed goes to the Seahawks. And I think that's a good landing spot for the offense because he's going to take the top off.
Yep.
Not that JSN can't do it, but that's just not his game. You know, so he's a great complementary piece to Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Torrey Horton has kind of been doing it, playing well this rookie year. I don't know why they brought this guy in because I feel like this is just going to stunt his growth. But Cooper Kupp is injured, so maybe this is them expecting Cooper Kupp to miss serious time, and now this is how they want to run their offense with a ton of explosive players.
I mean, that'd be kind of cool because I think watching Cooper Kupp is pretty evident. You're done, bro.
Oh yeah,
you know, like you're done. Yeah.
he's on the list. That we should make that a segment. Like a hey, you're done.
Yeah, you've done well.
There's a few players that we've been fantasy relevant for a long time, and
Cooper Kupp.
They're done.
Travis Kelce.
Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray.
This isn't like trade news, but Jacoby Brissett got named the starter. And instantly we're all like, oh, he got benched. And then the Cardinals were like, whoa. It's not that he got benched. We're just trying to give him more time.
No, that's a benching.
He's quote, air quotes, he's injured. Kyler's injured. He's got a weird foot injury.
Sure.
We just need to give him like 4 to 6 more weeks, dude. You've got to be kidding me, dude. And, like, you kind of talked about it, man. The offense has ran better. Like, I mean, it was the Cowboys, but God damn, they were moving
dude,
up and
they
down
have,
the field.
I don't know if the Cardinals have looked like that all year with Kyler Murray
the only
at the helm.
The only good thing about Kyler Murray is he loves to feed
Trey McBride.
And then, thankfully, Jacoby is on the same page, but yeah. Jacoby also understands, I need to get the ball to Marvin Harrison.
Yes.
Also, there's something to be note is that Trey McBride, I think, has 4 touchdowns in the last 3 games.
Yep. Yes, dude.
So that's not what Kyler Murray ever did.
No, well, Jacoby Brissett's also 6'2", and Kyler Murray's 5'6".
Yep.
So when you can't see over your own line to see if the receivers are open, you're not being able to get them all. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, you could blame it on the injury all you want. This is a benching, in my opinion.
That's a benching. It's a subtle bench.
And we were
subtle bench.
A soft that's what they called it. They called it a soft benching.
Yeah, it's a subtle one. It's like, hey, just take a seat, relax, dude. Just watch the game, you know?
And then again, this isn't much fantasy related, but the Jets went on a full fire sale and Breece Hall was just banging at the door, dude, like, get me the fuck out of here. And freaking Woody Johnson's like, get the dick, dude. You're not going anywhere. You and Garrett are gonna die on this ship with me, man.
Dude, that's unbelievable.
And they are.
The defensive head coach moved all of his defensive players. That is the most Jets thing I've ever heard.
I couldn't believe it myself, man. I could not believe that.
And credit to the Colts, dude. Like, they're playing well. Their only true deficiency they have is they don't have a corner.
Nope.
And now they do.
Now they got arguably the corner.
Completely changes their defense, dude. Let's get to these beers because my throat's drying up. What do you got over there, Frank?
Yeah, I don't even remember what I grabbed, dude. Oh, The Reckoning by Society.
Oh,
you guys have this?
No.
That's good.
Have you?
You guys will like it. Yes, okay. I have. It's bomb. So, yeah, just another Baron special. Again, Society, The Reckoning, 7.2 India Pale Ale.
Sick can.
Yeah, super dope can. You know, that's usually how we pick our beers these days.
Happy fucking
Tuesday. Is this can cool? I'm in, dude. Let's get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, what are we cracking them to?
I mean...
Oh, no, I already put it in here.
Yeah, we got big baseball news.
The Dodgers repeated. We're cracking it to that.
All right.
We're cracking it to Kurt Suzuki, the new manager
Let's
of
go.
The Angels, dude.
Hell yeah.
Hell
Kurt,
yeah.
Kurt. Yeah,
we're
Kurt.
Just, it's real easy, dude. Anytime you repeat in baseball, because it hasn't happened in 25 years, it's, in my opinion, the toughest sport to repeat in.
And any time that
yeah.
Anytime that you can't
hockey's
get
close.
Anyone to.
I would argue baseball, though.
Baseball's more of a grind.
There's just too many variables in baseball.
There's
you know?
More. It's more of a grind. 162 games.
And there's too much luck involved, dude.
And there's a shitload of luck involved.
Yeah.
Like, so. Look at that ball getting stuck under the wall.
Oh, my God.
That changed everything, dude. Yeah. That changed the series.
That was the game, dude.
I know.
When that happened, and just so everybody's clear, and I'm going to say this really quickly, that is a fucking rule, that if the ball gets stuck in the wall
it's
like that,
it's in the book.
It's a fucking dead ball.
It
and
is
they
in the
called
rule
it correctly. It's not about whether it's fieldable, it's if it gets stuck in the wall, and it was.
It is in
that's
the rule
such
book.
A shit rule, dude, because all you need to do is just go, that's it.
It's a rule. I don't know.
The only shitty thing about Hawaii is how early the sports are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, football doesn't bother me because I'm a morning person, mm-hmm. but like, I want to sit down and like have a couple beers and watch the World Series. It's in the middle of it's at 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Your
dude.
Sports day is over by what? Like 4? That
and the
sucks.
Funny thing is, it's like,
yeah.
It's like, I
yeah.
want to get hammered and watch the game, then go home and go to bed.
I want to go
but
out
and
have
to get hammered and be like, oh shit, it's like 7 now.
Yeah,
yes, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go out and like, you know, have a go to a bar, have the games on, but like, the games are done before happy hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So you're going to happy hour and just watching the news, dude.
Yeah. I think I thought the same thing, dude, real quick about the so when we were in Buffalo, because all the games obviously start late
the
there,
fuck
right?
They scored.
So like the 5 o'clock game started say at 8 o'clock over there, dude. So by the time it's like 9:30, 10, it's like just in the third quarter in the primetime game, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, damn, bro, I'm ready for bed, bro.
Well, they talked
about
that.
That's why I think
that.
We have the best like
yes, we do.
Time slot, dude, for all the sports, especially as it relates to football.
Yeah.
But
that's why you used to call it Pac-12 under the lights, dude.
Yeah.
Because all the East Coast, like there was an East Coast bias because they're all asleep by the time the Pac-12 starts, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they even
that's
alluded
a good point,
to it
D. That's a
to,
good point.
In the World Series. They said, oh, a crack in midnight here in Toronto. It was like the fourth inning.
Hell yeah.
Fuck Toronto, dude.
Well, let's crack him to the Doyers then, dude.
Santa.
Congrats, bro.
Congrats, dude.
Back to back. Very rare indeed. I think the last one to do that was
the
Yankees.
The Yankees.
Yeah.
When they three-peated.
Fuck, that's crazy, dude. You guys do that? That's some next level shit.
How do you not score? That is good.
I will say we have everybody coming back. Everybody's still in their prime. The only thing that's going to drag us down is the fact that we've been to 2 straight World Series, and that's a long fucking time to play baseball to continue to repeat to do
yeah,
it again. You know
that's
what
even
saying?
More grind, dude.
It's a grind. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you're right. Shut the fuck up, dude.
Gosh.
Look at me. My baseball team's the best we've ever
look
seen.
Look at me. I have the best team in baseball. I rip so much Pokemon. Fuck you.
I'm so tired. My team's going to be so tired from playing so many World Series. God.
We should have cracked it to Yamamoto. That guy's
you know what
the
Mike
man.
Trout's doing right now?
That guy's a fucking cyborg.
You know what Mike Trout's doing right now? Yeah, fucking nothing, dude.
Dude, probably living his great life.
He's in Millville drinking out of his basement, wondering how the fuck he gets off the Angels.
He's prepping for his Tyler Skaggs testimony.
Too late, dude. Surprise. He already did it.
Oh, my God.
Did you hear what they're asking him? They're like, they're trying to like gauge what Skaggs' value would have been. So they're like, hey, do you think he'll be an all-star?
What? Oh, my God.
Mike Trout's like, potentially?
Jesus, dude.
That's so crazy, dude. And of course, the Angels are like, nah, dude, he sucked.
Yeah, of course
like,
they're going to say
no,
that.
He was ass. Like, it's a mess. It's a mess.
He had a drug problem. He was terrible, dude.
It's literally them going, no, that employee's a drug addict, and the Angels knew about it. And the Angels going, Tyler Skaggs was a drug addict, dude.
Yep.
What
Jesus,
a mess, dude. Just fucking pay the family, you piece of shit, Artie.
I will say they did just post that that fucking hitter from Japan that plays on that team where Ohtani.
Oh, yeah, your new third baseman. Congrats. Fuck you.
That guy's about to get posted.
Who?
I forget his name, but he's basically the Japanese version of Barry Bonds.
Cool, so he's going to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
It's cool. Your new third baseman? Sweet.
Japanese? Dodger, dude. Immediately.
Right. So let me get this straight. He's going to go to the Padres, flirt with them, and then sign with the Dodgers.
Yep.
Awesome.
That's what's going to happen, dude.
Nice.
To be fair,
and
dude.
And we'll take on Max Muncy because he sucks now.
Dude. Yeah.
Japanese players have always had an affinity for the Dodgers, dude.
I think, and we've been talking about this.
You know why? Because of historically, a lot of the the Dodgers
they like the West
started
Coast.
To. No, the Dodgers were one of the first teams to go scout in Japan for players, which is why, remember, Hideo Nomo was a Japanese player that came over to the Dodgers. That's kind of what started a lot of that.
I'm convinced if the Dodgers, or excuse me, the NL had the DH when Shohei was posted, he would have went to the Dodgers.
Oh, that's
the only reason why he went to us is because we had the DH.
There's a an article that's written about that, that Shohei would have came to the Dodgers.
Yeah, I know. I'm not an idiot, dude.
Yeah. So he was always coming here, dude.
Yeah, I know. Remember when he decided to go? He like posted just your logo on his Instagram.
Oh my god, dude. I was like, I'm going here. I was like out in the middle of like somewhere and I just started screaming, dude. Yeah. We just signed Shohei Ohtani. Like, and everybody's like, what is wrong with that guy?
I started screaming too.
I remember when we signed him, dude. I was in Washington. I was looking at Christmas trees and I was like, what the fuck, dude?
I couldn't believe that you signed him.
We were so happy.
I could think of two moments in my life where I was the happiest as an Angels fan that wasn't World Series related. It was when we signed Albert Pujols and CJ
and got Chris Paul the same day.
Mm-hmm. And then it was when we signed Shohei.
Yep. I agree. I think
I remember that Pujols and CJ signing.
I think those are my two favorites as well. Because of, like I said, like just a quick side note, but Chris Paul got traded to the Lakers that day.
And that's right.
That's right.
That's right. I was forgetting one more trade.
Yep. Chris Paul got traded to the Lakers.
And quote unquote, Dwight was coming right afterwards.
So then all that dropped as the Angels and Lakers fans, and it was just euphoric, dude. Nothing. And I was like, this is the happiest day of my life. Nothing will beat this. Yeah. Not my wife, not my children, nothing, dude.
Nothing. Not the kids.
How about that,
that
day
have?
When we signed Nash and
we were at the 4th of July and I was screaming at everyone because everyone was just hammered. I mean, I was hammered too, but I was like, we just got Steve Nash. Yeah. What's up, dude?
And Dwight. And I think we got Dwight that day too.
Yep. And that team was ass, dude.
Shit. Steve Nash played 3 games. Yeah. And had a fractured leg. Once a son, always a son.
Signing Ron. That was the big one. When it was Ron
Artest?
Yeah, that was big.
No, LeBron.
Oh, LeBron.
Yeah.
I was going to say Ron Artest when we flipped Ron Artest for Trevor Ariza.
That was also a big one.
That was a massive one.
That was
one.
A big one.
Yeah.
When Kobe said he wasn't getting traded, that was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
When Kobe said he was retiring, that was
Did you ever hear that story?
Oh, Luka. That was a big one. Oh,
that was
just
probably
happened.
One of the biggest ones. Yeah. That came out of nowhere, too.
Did you guys ever hear that Ron Artest story when we lost to the Celtics in the finals in 2008?
Mm-mm.
Yes,
so
but I don't remember.
When we lost to them, like Kobe was just like in the shower and Ron Artest was there randomly. And that's when he walked up to him. He's like, yo, man, I'm going to come join you guys next year and help you out and get a ring. And that's what happened.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, dude.
And then we're like, later, Trevor.
Yeah. And Kobe was like, what are you doing in my shower, bro? Get out of here.
That's,
Kobe, pass me the ball.
Yeah.
All right. And that wraps up our segment of Around the Hoops and Around the Bases.
Yep.
Let's get to the QB studs for week 9. And this is kind of a fun one because there's a lot of people here that we normally don't talk about.
Oh, yeah. You're good.
Starting with Caleb Williams, our stud of the week for the quarterbacks. 38.7 fantasy points from Caleb. How did he do it, dude? 20 for 34, 280 yards, 3 touchdowns through the air. He actually had 53 yards rushing, and he caught a receiving touchdown. I love the stones on Ben Johnson, dude. Only Ben Johnson would run a double reverse pass at the goal line, dude. Like, I mean, Caleb is showing signs of improvement, but I think it is the creativity of Ben Johnson's offense that is truly carrying this kid. But
I'll tell you what. Also, what it is, the run game has come together, and the offensive line is playing a lot
better. The offense is complete, and honestly, when you speak of rushing too, dude, Caleb leaves so much on the fucking table. He's still trying to play so much hero ball. And as I'm watching this game, oh, nice, they scored. Like, it's still in his mindset he has to carry everything. Like, I honestly feel like if you just play within your system, Caleb, you would be so much better. And I think Ben Johnson is trying to just get that out of him. But kind of like, I mean, it's hard because Patrick Mahomes is actually rushing a lot more, but similar to Patrick, who has a lot of creativity to his game, and he's always trying to make moves with his arms and not his legs, Caleb leaves so much on the table. This kid is low-key very athletic, and he's always looking to throw versus running. But when he has games like this where he's got 53 rushing yards, like that's his, like that helps lift his fantasy floor. And honestly, dude, like I don't know how much of the Bears you guys have been watching, but I've said this a few weeks ago. This kid's got a fucking cannon. The ball zips off of his hand like no other, dude. He holds on to it so long, he releases that ball. It's fastballs only, dude, coming out of his hands. And he's squeezing it into these tiny little windows. Overall, this is probably one of his best games, dude, as a pro, honestly. It was against the Bengals defense, so, of course, I'm like, start him with confidence. It is the Bengals, even though it's Caleb Williams. But he's had a few dud games prior to this. This was a good little slump buster for him. He's got the Giants next week. I'll probably plug him in one more time.
Yeah.
I'm riding this kid, dude. I've had freaking Joe Burrow and Justin Fields, and I had to pick this kid up, and I've had no other choice, dude.
It's not a bad pickup, man. I mean, Caleb, it's not pretty, but in the most recent weeks, like, they've really nailed down the run game, and I think that has kind of opened up the pass game a little bit more for Caleb as a whole. Like, he's intelligent. He's got the arm strength. He does still hold on to the ball, and there is still some issues there, but, I mean, it's getting better, you know?
Yeah, dude, and, like, you touched on the run game. Like, last week he had a dud. Why did he have a dud? Because they ran
Swift
for, like,
went down.
Two. No, bro, it was the opposite. They ran it down their throats.
Yes.
He didn't have to do anything. I think the team itself had, like, four rushing touchdowns.
But Swift did not play this weekend. I think it was because he got banged up
Swift
last week.
Swift did not play this weekend because he got banged up last week.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll touch on the running backs later. And the guy that he went against, Joe fucking Flacco, dude. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, he's just making Joe Burrow seem more like a system quarterback. Because this guy's 50 years old, and he's only been on the team for, 10 days? And now he's putting up just as much, or if not more, fantasy points than Joe Burrow would on a regular basis?
What is dead may never die, Joe Flacco, dude.
That's right, dude.
Bro, the funny thing is, he was never a good fantasy quarterback with the Ravens in his prime.
Unless he played on Thursday nights.
And in his prime, he was never good unless it was a Thursday. Joe Flacco, 30 points, dude. 31 for 47s. He got into a shootout. The Bears won like 50-48. And 470 passing yards, four touchdowns, two interceptions. One was a Hail Mary at the end of the game. I mean, Joe Flacco has revived this whole offense. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Chase Brown,
yep.
Andre Osovas, whoever the hell you want to name, dude. Freaking Joe Mixon, freaking whoever else is left on that team, dude. All of them are fantasy relevant again because of Joe Flacco. He is a plug-and-play starter in two quarterback leagues. And honestly, if you're in a single quarterback league, you could probably plug him in too.
Dude, if he's getting you 30 points, yeah, I'm streaming that. No questions asked.
If they weren't on a bye, I would say plug him in as a bye week flyer for Patrick Mahomes. But yeah, they're on a bye with the Chiefs. So
I do think this system that Zach Taylor runs is very quarterback friendly, and it's friendly to quarterbacks that can make good decisions and that have big arms.
That's
right?
Exactly what I was gonna say, dude. Like,
he just and then like you have two all pro receivers that are fucking catching the ball.
Flacco's
and T. Higgins,
smart, dude.
And all he does is fucking get it to the guys, and he's like not even throwing that great of passes, but they're so talented at catching the football that he doesn't have to.
He understands timing. He understands timing, and there's a calm in the pocket.
He's a vet,
The
bro.
Bengals' offensive line has not changed.
His name ain't Joe.
The offensive line has not got better.
Still ass.
He just knows what to do with the ball. I only have 2 seconds. Get it to Jamar Chase. He's going to be open. Oh, I have 5 seconds. Throw deep to T. Higgins because I know he's going to be down there somewhere and he's going to come down with the ball. It's as simple as that. Oh, both of them are covered. Checking down to, Chase Brown, who ended up with a spoiler alert here, 14 catches or some shit like that, dude. 8 catches, 14 targets.
I like that.
Joe Flacco outscored Josh Allen. Do I need to say anything else?
Yeah, no. Winner, winner, dude.
I mean, 28-30.
A win's a win.
Okay, Vin Diesel.
Yeah. I mean, you're happy with either.
Oh, yeah.
And I expect 28 from Josh every single week. I'd be happy if Joe Flacco got me 15.
Yeah, 12 of those came right at the goal line, though. I will say that.
For Josh?
Yeah.
I mean, but that's Josh's game, dude.
I know, but I'm just saying there was a little bit of luck involved there. It's not like he was rushing them out from like 10, 15 yards.
And this is kind of what Josh has been lately, dude. Like 23-26, 273 yards and a passing touchdown. And then, like you said, he got two goal line TDs.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone's, Josh is having a bit of an off year. Well, it's because he hasn't had to use his legs.
It's because James Cook is running over everybody.
Exactly.
Dude. That's
they
why.
Have a viable running back.
Yeah.
They
James Cook might be one of the most complete running backs in football. Us not named Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, he's definitely great, emerging, dude. Justin Herbert, you know, we touched on it, but he's quietly the quarterback too for fantasy football. Another strong outing, 27.7 fantasy points, 19 for 29, 250 yards, 2 touchdowns. And he did a lot of this rushing in the second half. He had 57 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown. It's amazing to me how he's still playing, considering how bad the offensive line is. This kid gets pressured 99% of the time.
Every snap.
I mean, he is that guy where, like, if you just dropped him into, like, the Eagles.
The Bengals.
No, like, dude, give me, like, you know, the Buccaneers.
Literally,
like,
any team not named the Chargers that's having to deal with losing an offensive lineman every fucking
any
week.
Any team that, you know, is playing, let's say, 4 out of their 5 starting offensive linemen, he's an MVP candidate. The Chargers are playing now their 4th and 5th string tackle, their starting center, their starting guard, and they're on their 3rd string right guard.
I was going to say, given the circumstances and your guy's record, he might legitimately be a fucking MVP
he
candidate,
should be,
bro.
Just, like, based off
fucking,
of that.
He's playing with a JV line, dude.
The sheer fact that we are winning games is
incredible. Yeah, and you're winning games.
Yeah.
Even though it was the Titans. And
don't matter.
They played us close, dude.
Like, every week is a challenge, bro.
I know, what's his name was not there? Who's the defensive tackle there?
Justin Simmons
was all not pro. There. But that doesn't mean that the other guys on that line aren't just as good. They're not all pros, but they're damn good. And that D-line is solid in Tennessee. And so, theoretically, yeah, they were in his face every fucking snap, and he still was.
Put your money on the Steelers, dude. I'm sorry. I hate to say that, but I've seen this.
I look at the point spread.
I've seen this story before, man. Like, I think it was last year.
Money line, yes. Steelers.
What's
but
the over on sacks for TJ? 3.5?
Probably
give me 4.
Have 5. 5. Take the over.
Take the over.
I bet
you have
5.
You have a good defense with a strong defensive line, a strong veteran defensive minded head coach. There's no way we're going to get away.
What's the record for sacks in a game? Take that, dude.
Yeah, there's no way, dude, we're going to get away with that.
And they have a decent secondary.
And we can't run. If we can't run, we can't play action. If we can't play action,
then
we can't push the ball. If we can't push the ball, he's going to have to run the ball. And if he has to run the ball, he's going to get hurt.
I could see us go back to the schematics that we were running prior to last week. The 2 weeks prior to that is a lot of short pass, a lot of short game. So that was the emergence of Rondae Gadsden and where Ladd started to come back into play. And then QJ started to fall off because his routes just take longer to develop, right? So we might see more of that type of game. And that's how you beat teams at blitz heavy. So
yeah. And then Jackson Dart, 27.2 fantasy points, 24 for 33, 191 yards, 2 touchdowns. Also using his legs a lot, 8 for 56 and a rushing touchdown. This kid looks like he's here to stay. They're not winning many games, but he's a gamer. He's got a little Baker Mayfield to him.
He does. He definitely does.
Got some moxie to him, dude.
Got some moxie. Got some dog there. And I just can't wait to see what he can do with some real weapons, dude. Like, he's got no running back. His tight end's emerging.
His wide receiver one is dead.
Offensive line, adequate at best, dude. Viable. But Jackson's viable. I mean, if you sat on your quarterbacks, he's a low-end streamer. So
Yeah.
I'd go pick him up. Couple honorable mentions for the quarterback, Sam Darnold.
We should have not had Sam Darnold as an honorable mention.
Why?
Because I think he's like in the running for an MVP this year.
Yeah. I mean, he did score just as many points as Jackson Dart.
It's just that.
27.2 as well.
He's been doing it all year, though.
He has.
And somehow he's better than he was last year.
We've low-key just let him fly under the radar because it's Sam Darnold.
And it's the Seahawks. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, no one's paying to
Sam Darnold.
No one's paying to the Seahawks south of Portland, dude.
Any day now he's going to be seeing ghosts again, son of a bitch.
But four touchdowns. He torched the Commanders. That game was over at half.
Yeah he had 4 touchdowns at half.
I literally turned that game off at half. I was like, this is done.
Yeah.
This is a wrap.
Done at half. And then someone else we're not talking about enough, who also is quietly having an MVP season, that's the staff, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Stafford is leading the league in touchdown passes. He had 4 more the other day.
Let's see if he can't go out there and beat the Niners this week and fucking put a stranglehold on that division.
Is that with who they play?
Yep.
Damn. Hopefully,
I bet on their asses when they played them on Thursday night, and the fucking Niners ran. Mac Jones just ran all over them. Fucking stupid motherfuckers.
Mac Jones, dude. Let's talk more about the Niners, dude, with our running backs, and that's gonna be your new running back.
That's right,
Christian McCaffrey, 34.3 fantasy points. This is what he does, dude. Honestly, probably the most I feel like he's been used. 28 attempts, 106 on the ground with a touchdown, 5 for 67 and another touchdown. This is CMC.
I'll tell you what, man.
Prime CMC.
I was like, thank God he got out of there healthy, because MetLife ain't nothing to fuck with. I was waiting for him to get hurt, because that's just been my luck this year, is that every player I pick up gets hurt. But he looks splendid out there, man.
Splendid. Yay. Rico Dowdle, 28.1 fantasy points. Also a very splendid running back. 25 for 130, two touchdowns, 2 for 11. It just makes you wonder, like, when did this guy become such a good back?
He flashed in in Dallas. And
Miami and Dallas.
I was honestly surprised that Dallas let him walk, because they needed a running back. I mean, they got Javonte, so it's kind of a moot point, but Rico Dowdle has lit the world on fire, and if you picked him up, because more than likely he went undrafted or late, you find a diamond in the rough.
I'm going to say this, dude. Whatever running back the Panthers add next season, be sure to grab him, because Rico Dowdle is literally following in the footsteps of Chuba Hubbard, who was like the other forgotten back, and I don't know who was ahead of Chuba. Injury goes down, and then Chuba comes in, and he just never gave the job back.
Yep.
Who was that, dude?
I don't remember, but
it wasn't Jonathan Brooks. There was another running back there. Yeah. Miles Sanders?
Yes.
Yes. Miles Sanders. Damn.
Okay. Well, there you go, dude.
I don't know, man. I like Rico. I think he's way better than Chuba.
He is. Rico's a real back.
I think they re-sign him, and he might.
He looks like a three-down back. It's just funny because Chuba just did this.
Yeah, it is.
You know, but he does look better than Chuba, but, you know, he's great contact balance, dude, breakaway speed. Yeah, so it's one of those head scratchers. And look at the Panthers. They're 5-3 without a quarterback. It's incredible.
Dude, Bryce Young is horrible.
He's rough, dude. It's just when you think he's getting better, like, he goes up against a good team, and then he looks completely lost again. This one's fun, Brady. Our guy. My guy, your guy, our guy, Kyle Manunga.
My guy, too. Baby. I have him on my taxi squad.
Let's go.
22.8 fantasy points. It was the Manunga coming out party, dude. And we told you about this guy. If you listened to us, I think he was in your top 10.
He was in my top 10.
I think did we scout him? I'm pretty sure we did scout him. We all said we liked him.
Yep.
And we actually all liked the landing spot. If he could beat out Roshan Johnson, which he did,
mm-hmm.
Whoops.
And DeAndre Swift.
Roshan Johnson, touchdown leader, dude.
Oh, my God, dude. Oh, that's got to be probably the worst one of all time.
Oh, yeah, that's a bad one.
I love it.
But he got his chance. DeAndre Swift was out. Manongai became the three-down back. He got 22 fantasy points. He didn't score a touchdown. That just tells you how many yards
176. He got, dude.
I know, I was so bummed because I saw like a 30-yard touchdown run. I'm like, oh, there he goes. I'm like, that's not him, dude.
Nope,
that was the other guy. But still, he looked good, dude. The Bears' offensive line is
They're gelling.
The holes were there. And you know what? And we talked about this when we scouted him. He always looks like he's moving forward.
Yes.
Always.
And that has translated to the NFL, dude. So many times he's stuffed at the line. 3 yards.
Great contact balance. He's got a little scataboo in his game, dude.
I didn't realize how small he was.
He's very small.
Yeah.
I randomly watched like a ton of Rutgers games when he was there, dude. And
Dude,
he just always was like that, bro. He'd always just always very north south, always tough to bring to the ground, dude. And I think the Bears got themselves a good one, bro. In the 7th round, no less, dude. Right? He was in the 7th round.
All heart, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking
You
A,
want to know
bro.
What's funny, dude? I never watched a single
Rutgers
game.
That class was stacked at running back, but still. Yes. He's a starter in the 7th round. That's crazy.
And to be honest, sorry, 176 yards out of the 7th round is impressive.
Yeah, that's very impressive, dude.
Hell yeah, it is. I don't give a damn if it's
the
Bengals.
For the Chicago Bears?
Yeah.
For the Bears. And you're a Bear?
And you're a Bear, dude? What?
God. There's a game I want to play with you guys one day when we have more time. Like, maybe we'll do it during the offseason. where I'm going to like name off like these random stats for players and then just and see if you guys could figure out who it is. Like,
yeah.
No, bro. That's it's tough, actually Caleb dude. Williams.
You did do that this last year, and one of them was Jordan Addison.
Yeah.
I got it.
But yeah, dude, Manon guy. The funny thing is, Brady, too, I've never watched Rutgers, but I could name at least four times that I had him in a parlay.
Really?
I honestly never seen the guy. I thought he was white.
But really?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Kyle Manon guy? Does that say short black guy with dreads to you, dude?
It doesn't say a white guy to you, Manon guy? I've never met a white guy with that last name.
It says like a light-skinned guy, dude.
Okay. I don't know.
Kyle, dude. The Kyle threw me off.
Yeah. Kyle can definitely throw you off.
Yeah. Yo, what's up? I'm hello, my name is Kyle Manongai.
I hear you on that.
But yeah, Manongai, dude. I don't know the severity of Swift's injury, but for as long as Swift is out, this guy's an instant starter to me. Plug and play, dude.
Yep.
And the best part was, dude, he was just sitting there on our waiver wire. Sorry, free agency, dude.
Was he?
Dave, with his whole team on a bye, left him there. And I was like, all right, I'll just play a little defense. And then, oh, never mind. I'm actually going to throw him in.
Nice pickup, dude.
Josh Jacobs. We haven't said his name very often this year.
For good reason.
He's been average.
Yeah.
But 17 for 87, a touchdown and 4 receptions.
Would you like to know why he's average? Because he ain't scoring at the clip that he was last year.
No. I will say this, though. It was kind of around this time last year.
When he started to pick up.
So it's something to keep an eye on. I mean, if you have Josh, you don't have a choice. You have to start him.
Right.
But let's just hope he can have that second half resurgence that he had. But it was the Panthers who still have a terrible defense. It's hard to get up for Josh Jacobs and the good performance that he had. Ashton Jeanty, 19.9. An ugly 19.9. 13 for 42. 5 through the air and 47 yards receiving touchdown, which they actually did look very nice.
Didn't this team put up like 39 points? I think
it was like 20s with overtime.
I was just like,
just an ugly team, ugly off. Like the whole team's bad. It's just Brock Bowers, dude. It's just Brock Bowers and a bag of chips. I mean, Ashton Jeanty is hard to trust. If he's not scoring touchdowns, he's very Derrick Henry, dude. Where either you're either going to get a touchdown and 80 yards or you're going to get 40 yards and 4 points, dude. Like, that's pretty much it for this kid. So a couple honorable mentions. We got to talk about Chase Brown because he's alive and well with Joe Flacco and the Bengals offense, although he is on a bye this week. But it's the usage. And even though he wasn't getting the ball on the ground very often, 11 for 37, it's the 8 catches and 14 targets that I'm staring at for 75 yards.
I mean, Chase Brown is – You're drafting Chase Brown to catch balls. Like, it's not for his rushing upside. This is basically Austin Eckler, if you wanted to compare him to somebody in my eyes.
Nice,
like, it's another like Austin Eckler, especially in this offense.
I think we did say that.
Yeah, Austin Eckler, like, yeah.
And we kind of briefly mentioned this guy because he is emerging, and that's R.J. Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
He's slowly chipping away. I think the pendulum has swung, and I think the backfield is now, like, 60-40 R.J. to J.K., and RJ is just more explosive, and he's doing more with it, right? 16.6 fantasy points. He didn't do shit on the ground. 2 for 5.
Very nice.
5 for 51 through the air, classic. Though. 5 for 51 through the air with a receiving touchdown. And it was a nice receiving touchdown, too. He wheeled out of the backfield and caught it over the shoulder in the end zone. Someone else who caught a lot of touchdown passes, and that's going to be wide receiver, Drake London. 38.8 fantasy points.
Oh, my God.
Caught a lot, dude.
3 tutties for him, 9 for 118. Michael Penix's his ass, but he does know who to throw the ball to.
Yes, yep. He does.
And that's Drake London. And London looked good too, doing it too, dude. He was mossing.
I saw that.
Everyone.
Yeah, he was.
Drake London.
And he was letting
him
know
somewhere.
Too, dude.
Yeah. And that's just how bad Penix has been. Just throw it in his direction. He's going to come down with
I
it,
think
dude.
You said it. He's fucking Mike Evans, but a young Mike Evans.
He's
like
a young
he's
Mike
all
Evans,
over
dude.
The fucking place.
Yeah. So career game breakout. I wouldn't even say breakout, but just career game for Drake London.
Felt like we were waiting for this because I think he's been kind of banged up, probably underperforming for some of your teams.
He's been steady, like, you know, volume dependent.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
T. Higgins, see Joe Flacco. 33.1 fantasy
fuck you,
points.
T. Higgins, you bastard.
Dude, never again. I fucking hate T. Higgins. He loves playing against me.
Dude, same.
Seven bastard. For 121, 2 touchdowns. I mean, it's not like Ja'Marr Chase didn't have a good game, but it was T. Higgins' day. Mm-hmm. And, like, this is what they do. And we kind of touched on it, right? Like, Joe Flacco just was going bombs away, and credit to T. He kept coming down with catch after catch. Incredible catch. Broken tackles, scoring touchdowns. Like, it was a great day for T. He quietly has been healthy this whole year.
Yeah.
Because he's not on my team anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm even with T, like, and as long as you got Joe Flacco and eventually Joe Burrow, like, you have to plug him in.
Yeah.
Yes.
You because you, these games are going to happen. He's very Julio Jones like that, where, like, either he's just going to get 5 for 49 or he's going to bust out and do this.
Good comp.
I think Asian has T. God. Dude.
Yeah, he benched him, too, this last week, but it didn't matter because his team is fucking stacked.
He lost.
That's what I'm saying.
Did he lose?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he lost.
He lost. I lost.
Lost by 6 points. He did lose. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I lost by four, dude.
He had it locked up. Brady had it locked up. Let's see. Davante Adams, dude. Him and staff have very quietly put together that, like, it's not even the fade, but staff is like ball in the one, throw it to Devontae.
Yeah,
I love it, dude.
Fuck you.
It's hilarious, bro.
Kyron.
Yeah. Run it? Nah, dude. Mm-hmm. I'm staff infection.
Yeah,
I throw
5 for 60, but 2 touchdowns. And I want to say both were at the goal line, dude.
He's a red zone machine, dude. Like, he's just better.
He's unbeatable off the line, dude.
Yep.
DJ Moore, 23 points.
Next.
Weird stat line, but 4 for 72. He had a rushing touchdown, which was a fumble, but they called it a touchdown. Did you guys see what happened there?
No.
Yeah.
I missed it.
So, he was a reverse. He's diving towards the end zone, and he loses the ball, right? And I want to say they called it down at the one, okay? So, the Bengals throw the challenge flag because he lost the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bengals were like, no, he lost the ball and it went out of the end zone.
Mm.
So it should be our ball. So the Bengals throw the challenge saying, hey, you got that wrong. It should be a fumble. And the refs go, you're right. We did get that wrong. He actually crossed the goal line with the ball. That's a touchdown.
That's hilarious, dude.
it totally backfired, dude. It gave him a touchdown.
That's funny,
bro. It was the most Bengals thing. But, yeah, 4 for 72, rushing touchdown. And he actually threw the passing touchdown to DJ Moore. It was a beautiful pass. Or to Caleb Williams, I'm sorry. Moore is hard to trust right now. I mean,
I'm honestly surprised he didn't get moved at the deadline.
It's kind of hard to trust anyone in that passing game because you've got Caleb Williams going off, and we're going to talk about Roma Dunze because he dropped the goose egg. But right now, like, that offense is showing no favorites.
Yep.
Unless it's a running back. Like, DeAndre Swift, sadly, is the only true viable starter in that offense that you don't have to worry about busting. And that says a lot because it's DeAndre Swift. And then Puka Nacua, 22.8 fantasy points, 7 for 95, a touchdown. Puka,
another day in the office,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, he's kind of very Josh Allen-esque,
yeah,
at this point. This is just what you expect him to do. Get 7 catches, 70 yards, he's going to score a touchdown.
Although I feel like the touchdowns are trajecting more upwards this year, dude. I don't remember him scoring that much last year.
Well, the staff infection is fucking throwing them at will.
That's true. He is.
So
he's absolutely balling, dude.
I know, dude. It's actually quite frustrating when it's not Puka and it's not Devontae. Like, mm-hmm, who else are you going to fucking throw
it
to?
Why are you throwing it to your tight ends?
Why do you love your tight ends so much? All
well,
five of them.
He was trying to throw it to Tutu Atwell, and then he got hurt for the season. So there's that.
And then our honorable mentions, we got to mention Maserati. He's promoted now.
No, beautiful.
He's back. He's not a Mazda. He was a Maserati this week. 22.6, 7 for 96 and a touchdown. A beautiful touchdown.
Surgical.
Ankle breaking.
Literally.
The kid looks like.
Looked like little.
It's like, oh, how nice of me to have a quarterback that's going to throw the ball to me no matter I'm open or whether I'm
not. Yeah, he looked happy, dude, which was nice to see.
He did. He smiled.
Yeah.
He smiled.
For all the shit that we've given Maserati Marv. I think it's pretty evident that it's not. I don't think the problem is him. I think it's very evident that the problem is Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I mean,
I think you're right.
You just removed him in the last 2 weeks, and he's played stellar.
And it's not like,
bro,
it's not like Jacoby's been playing bad either, dude.
No,
like, barely lost against the Colts, barely lost against the Packers, two mm-hmm. good teams, and then they smashed the Cowboys, who's a middle of the road team, but still, like.
Well, it's like kind of like either you. They beat the team that they should have beat out of those three, right?
Right.
So.
Bro, I read that article that you're talking about in our group text.
Oh, my God. Dude, have you
Marvin Senior is the fucking man,
you,
dude.
You read that? Read that?
Did you read
I
it?
Didn't, dude. I don't remember seeing an article. I just remember seeing a random text saying Marvin Senior is the man.
There's
dude.
A fucking article on ESPN. It's just like this most casual, like they're just getting Marvin Harrison Senior's insight on the Cardinals offense, and he's like, I have no fucking idea what is going on over there. Like, basically, to sum
Bro,
it up for
you. Well, did you see he said, if you took me and put me in that Cardinals offense right now, I would be getting a prepaid envelope from the Hall of Fame asking for my gold jacket back.
No way,
dude. Yeah. And then later in that article, they're like talking about how Marvin Harrison Sr. never had to ask for the football because Peyton knew to get him the football.
Yeah.
Marvin Harrison Jr., on the other hand, the problem is the quarterback play, quote unquote, Kyler Murray, doesn't know what the fuck he's doing at quarterback. So he's having to be more vocal and being like, get me the football, which is not something he's ever
it's
had to do.
It's not a strong suit, dude. So he's not like that. Yeah.
It was
like
just like
pops.
Alluding to the fact that we have shit quarterback play in this offense, and I swear to God, it's not me.
This just popped up in my head, Frank, which is probably why Kyler's not back yet. He's probably playing Battlefield, dude.
Probably.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him. Motherfucker.
Tomorrow, bro, we're jamming.
I'll play.
Couple honorable mentions. Yeah, we had Marvin and then Torrey Horton, dude. Breakout game.
But
now he's got more competition.
Yeah.
I like Torrey Horton coming out. I can't remember if we scouted him or not.
We did not scout him.
I don't think we scouted him.
But I very much remember Torrey Horton because I think Colorado played Colorado State. And it was a televised game, and I want to say Torrey Horton was just going off, dude. And, like, they were even talking about how Travis Hunter couldn't stop Torrey Horton. It was one of those things where, like, okay, I'm going to remember this kid because he's having a day against who at the time was, like, the Heisman favorite. So, but, yeah.
Man, how's that not aged well?
Yeah, and it was a great game, dude, for Torrey. And you could tell that it's there. The concern now is that they added Rashid. So does that take away from Torrey, or does
actually
that just
think
completely
you made a really
ice
good,
out Cooper Kupp?
Like, yeah, I think you made a good point off the air in the fact that this team is just, they went out, they're like, okay, we have Sam Darnold, who's in the middle of an MVP campaign. This dude is like on one, spreading the ball everywhere. Let's get more explosive.
Yeah.
That's what they said.
Exactly.
Like, and it could be that now we're going to see three wide receiver sets.
A low-key, very good run.
He's
wide
a
receiver.
Very good receiver.
Yes.
And so Cooper Kupp's dead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dead.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, sure, there's probably a bit of a downgrade here because now we don't know who's going to take on that wide receiver two role, but I think it's just kind of like a wait-and-see situation. Like, if you have Scorey Torrey, just chill.
Yeah.
See how this shit plays out the next couple weeks.
I like that Scorey Torrey. And let's get to the tight ends and the highest scoring fantasy player of the week. That's Brock Bowers.
Fuck you, Brock.
40 burger.
43, dude.
Have we had a 40 burger this year?
I don't think
it's
so.
It's been kind of quiet. From anyone?
Maybe Jamar early in the season.
I think Jamar. Jameer, maybe. Christian has
Jameer
been around 37.
Jameer's been floating with 30, but either way, 43.3 fantasy points. 12 catches for 127 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Jesus.
This was his first game back. I think he's been out for, what, like 4-5 games?
Yep.
And the whole offense changed. Geno Smith is now once again like low-key, deep league fantasy relevant because he got his boy back, and he just fed him, and Brock just looked like the guy that we raved and raved and raved about coming out. Nobody could cover this white boy, dude.
He's been like that since his Georgia days, dude.
CMC had a 39.
Okay. This is the highest,
I think.
Yeah, dude, he's always been like that. Complete difference maker, and yeah.
He's just a hybrid.
He came from Georgia?
Yep.
Yeah, if you held him, like, congratulations. If you, like, kind of tried to buy low on him, congratulations.
If you sold him, you're sad.
You're sad because this is what he can do week in and week out. And if you're a Brock Bowers owner, let's just hope the Raiders continue to suck and this is all that they do, throw the ball to him.
Hell yeah.
Breakout game here. Colston Loveland, 29.1 fantasy points, 6 for 118 and 2 touchdowns. Cole Kmet got concussed. That put a little bit more responsibility in Colston Loveland, and he took advantage of the situation. He looked like the athletic F tight end that we knew he was coming out in college. That game-winning touchdown catch. I'm not going to call that fluky. That was just a good play on his part. And he had the speed to break away from the safeties in the corners.
Yeah, he did. Speed, dude.
He did.
And that's the mismatch that these good tight ends are. He caught the ball, broke two tackles, and then sprinted to the end zone. Like, that's not a play that every NFL player or receiver can make, dude.
Or, I mean, just compare him to other tight ends. Like, George Kittle probably makes that play very early on in his career.
George Kittle
anymore.
Makes that play.
You know? Like, yeah. But
Kelsey
that,
does not.
Kelsey doesn't make that play.
Yeah.
Like, Brock Bowers probably does. You know, maybe Ferguson. Maybe.
Yeah.
But that's awesome, dude.
It was a great play on
Hell
his
yeah,
part, dude.
Fuck
and
yeah.
It was a great throw by Caleb, dude.
I'll tell you who does make that. Ronnie
it was a
Gadsden.
Great throw by Caleb,
Gadsden
dude.
Does make that, yeah.
I
know
was,
we were just
bullet by
we were just talking too, like, okay, what did I say? Well, Caleb's got 48 seconds, and you're like he can't do it.
Yeah, I did say
he can't do it.
Fucking.
But the funny thing was, is like, okay, first down incomplete, second down incomplete, third down he rushed for the first down, and then I think the next play he hit that ball.
So to be fair though, do you put? I think I say that's more Colston than Caleb.
I mean, Colston scored the touchdown, like. In reality, I will say this.
It's the chicken before the egg, but whatever.
The throw got them into field goal range, and that's really all they needed.
Yeah, that's a good
like,
point.
So the throw got them safely into field goal range. So Caleb made the play to win the game, but it was Colston's like rack that iced it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But yeah, situation to monitor. Especially if Cole Kmet is out. If Cole Kmet is out and you need to stream a tight end, go get Colston Loveland.
Dude, why not?
Yeah.
Dalton Kincaid. Weird seeing you on this list.
He's been quietly having a good season, dude.
Has he?
Oh,
I'm last the Dodgers.
Where were you last year, Dalton?
I'm the Dodgers. I had to play in Japan. This was so hard.
We did have to play in Japan. Thank you for reminding me.
We started in Japan and we ended in Toronto. This is so hard playing in two World Series.
The rich get richer, baby.
Good Lord, dude.
We're going to go out and sign somebody else.
I you're going to get Mike Trout, dude. Is that on Kashi? I want to bet on that, dude.
Mike Trout ain't. I don't think
he's
we
a bust.
In Mike
I know.
Trout.
I know. He's ass. He sucks.
The Dodgers don't go out and get injury riddled players. So
I told you guys this,
don't
dude. I'm like,
go get Mike Trout.
Getting sidetracked here. I'm just so glad the last game I took my son to, we watched Mike Trout hit a home run.
That's cool.
Because I don't know if we'll ever see him do that again.
I do we think that the Dodgers, if he becomes
but like,
available,
like it at the game. Right? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, we'll see it on TV. Like,
yeah.
I was at a game and we watched him hit a home run.
Yeah.
But
I do think if he becomes available,
fuck.
He may. The Dodgers go chase Paul Skeens.
Fat
and
chance.
You'll get him. Yeah, fat chance they'll get him.
No, I mean, I think it's possible.
Sorry, I meant fat chances. Like, you definitely will get him. But anyways, how do we get there? Dalton Kincaid. Oh, yeah. Bro, this is the guy that we thought they were drafting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say that. And you and I will give our opinion, and then Brady will give us our like the real analysis because he's the Buffalo guy here. But the Dalton Kincaid that I saw looked like the Dalton Kincaid that knew Dave was down 60 points.
100%.
And that looked like the receiver – or the tight end that we scouted coming out of
Iowa.
No. Utah.
Close.
But – he mismatch, open, fast, athletic. Where has this guy been his whole career, dude? And like, are we gonna see more of this? Is this because of all the injuries that you guys are dealing with, Brady? Like, what's going on?
I think it's just a fluke thing, man. I think that Josh is just doing a good job at finding the open man this year, and for a lot of times it's been Dalton. It's pretty much as simple as that, dude. You know, I don't think he's any more or less different than he was last year. It's just Josh being more efficient with the football and, you know, taking the easy reads, dude.
Yeah.
That's all it really is, you know. He's definitely a talented tight end. We knew that coming out. Glad it's starting to finally show up on tape, but I think this is more just about, you know, opportunity and, again, the development of Josh.
Yeah.
Because everybody eats in that offense still, bro. So I mean, Khalil Shakir still.
Every week, it's somebody yeah, different. I was just going to say.
Everybody eats in that offense,
so I have to start Khalil Shakir out of necessity because my redraft team is shit every week. So yeah. There is weeks when he pops off.
Yeah.
Dalton, in your opinion, like a plug-and-play starter?
No. I don't think so. I mean.
I'd say he's a risky plug-and-play.
Yeah.
So if you waited for a tight end and you picked yourself up Dalton Kincaid, you probably feel okay with
and
yourself.
And he went late.
Right, and you probably feel okay because you got Josh Allen feeding you the
ball.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be. Yeah, that's perfect, dude.
I wouldn't be
stoked if I had Dalton.
Exactly.
Kincaid.
I'm just like
if I had Dalton Kincaid, all right. You know,
I just know that there's going to be weeks where it's going to suck.
Yeah, but you also know he's not going to lay a goose egg for you, right?
Exactly.
I mean, like he's going to at least get a handful of catches
like four
and some yards.
Or five, yeah.
The thing is, like we talk about this with tight ends, is that fucking tight end 11 and between tight end 11 and tight end 5 is so fucking big that it's like almost doesn't matter if you don't get one of those top three.
Yeah.
So it's like, who gives a shit?
That's true.
Run it.
Run it back. Sam Laporta. This is what Sam Laporta can do, dude. 21.7, 6 for 97 and a touchdown. The hard part with Sam Laporta is that all of us have a hard time forgetting the season where he just was doing this week in and week out. Right? Like, because they showed you, like, he can carry the weight. But this offense has continually evolved. Jameson Williams is no longer suspended. Jahmyr Gibbs has truly emerged. You know, the offensive coordinator is gone. But when things get tough and they have to throw the ball, they can lean on Sam Laporta. The problem is you don't know when the Lions are going to get into a knife fight. And this week they got into a knife fight and they got behind early against the Vikings and they stayed behind, which kept Sam Laporta relevant. When they're ahead, they're not throwing it to him. Right? Like it's he kind of becomes more of a necessity when they get into those shootouts. The hard part is you have to figure out when they're gonna do that. That said, you don't have a choice but to start him every single week.
Yep.
It's kinda like the Dalton Kincaid problem with Sam Laporta, right? Like it's almost like you know this guy isn't gonna fuck you every week, like he's gonna get you something.
Oh no, he fucks me on a regular basis.
I guess I'm saying he's going to be a bottom end, top 12 tight end. And you're just like, okay, you're not top 5, so I'm just going to roll with you.
How are you going to get to 12? By scoring 20, then 2.
Exactly.
Well, I average 10 points a game. That's a top 12 tight end.
That's what I'm talking about. So it's like, it's the same shit with Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah. And then this fucker, Mark Andrews, 16.6. 2 catches, 2 touchdowns. This is who Mark Andrews has become. He's not a fantasy starter. If you think he's a starter, you're high. Like, you need to move on.
When's that guy's contract up, dude? I'm waiting for my boy Likely.
When is his career up? Because he's been done, dude.
I mean, I honestly
thought... And at this point, he's just taking reps away from Isaiah Likely.
Yeah.
I agree with that statement. I honestly thought this was also another candidate to get moved at today's deadline, and I think the Ravens kind of fumbled it.
I think everyone else just knew who he was, dude. Our honorable mentions, I'm going to bring up Dalton Schultz because he low-key has been playing very well lately. And 13.7, good volume, 6 for 77. And then Aronde Gadsden, 11.8. If you can get a tight end that could crack double digits, you're going to be happy.
Yep.
And that's something that Aronde Gadsden has now done, I think, for 4 or 5 straight games.
That's solid, dude. Boys might have something.
He's a plug-and-play starter for me.
I anticipate these numbers to continue to grow with the faltering of the offensive line. How the Chargers have historically countered that is to create more short pass games.
And they're going
to
be trailing now.
And they're going to be behind.
This season, unfortunately, is about to take a turn for the Chargers. And that's not me like trying to be all like gloomy and shit. It's just that this season's about to get harder, dude. You got the Steelers,
yes,
the Raiders, whatever. The Jags, the Eagles, the Texans, the Broncos, the Chiefs one more time. Like they have to go to Dallas and play the Cowboys.
And that's not taking into account how much worse the offensive line has gotten from the beginning of the season.
Yeah. So they're about to enter murderer's row. And it's a good thing that the Chiefs lost, and hopefully they lose again. They do play the Broncos when they come back.
Well, there's a chance.
They tend to suck against divisional matchups. So
this is true. Speaking of suck, the duds. Oh, we were just talking about this team. Patrick Mahomes.
Womp.
Bom, 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 wow. 10.5 fantasy points. It just wasn't his day, dude. He looked like Super Bowl Patrick Mahomes.
The Bills were in his ass all day.
Yeah, they were.
They were deep.
It was good. It was a good game.
It was a great game.
15 for 34, 250 yards, no touchdown passes.
No rushing touchdowns
no
either.
No rushing touchdowns. He actually only had one. He had one rush for 5 yards, which just tells you how much the D-line dominated.
They had a spy on him every single snap. Yep. I watched that shit. I was like, good on the fucking Bills.
Joey Bosa looked like he was...
Turn back the clock,
two,
dude.
3 years into the league, dude.
Yep.
He
also
was in Patrick's face every
gotta
single
Gotta give a shout-out
to
the Rook, Hairston, dude, shutting down, what's his name, on those deep go routes every time, dude.
Thornton?
Was it Thornton? No.
Hollywood.
Hollywood Brown. Yep.
Yep. I think he picked him off the last play of the game, dude.
Yeah.
The Rook.
That was great for fantasy. Yeah, that was great. But, yeah, I mean, Mahomes, these games for Mahomes are going to be few and far between. Like, this doesn't sway you from starting him. Like, you have to play him. And honestly, I plugged him in with confidence because you're thinking it's Buffalo. It's a shootout. Patrick plays well, you know, when he goes against Buffalo. But the Bills were up for this one, dude. Like, and Brady, like, you've probably watched more Bills games than any of us. Like, their D's been shit all fucking year.
Oh, all year.
That was a different defense, dude.
Well, yeah, you just get up for certain games, dude. And, you know, historically over the last few years, this has been, like, the marquee game in the NFL. So,
it is.
You know. I mean, the players get up for that. And I will also say, it's not like Patty played bad, dude. Fuck. He just didn't score. Like, he had no touchdown passes.
That's
no rushing,
true. It was
no
kind,
rushing
it was
touchdown.
Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, dude. So, I mean... Yeah, it's just kind of a shit luck situation with him, but better days ahead for him, for sure.
Patty's had a great year all the way up until this point. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Revenge year, like I said.
No, that was supposed to be last year, you fuck. Shut the
I
fuck
called
up.
It again.
No, this year. It's definitely this year.
Double or nothing.
He's mine now. He's my precious. Patrick's my precious.
Yeah, that's right. We didn't talk about it. You fucking acquired him like a shit bag.
I did, dude. I just feel like Thanos just building the fucking gauntlet on that team league, dude.
I went out and got Christian McCaffrey and Josh Allen in our other league.
Tell
Same
me it doesn't
shit.
Feel good, dude.
Oh, I felt great.
Tell me there's, I mean, other than winning a championship, like when it comes to fantasy, like when you just know, like I'm going to fucking run train on everyone with this team, dude.
Yep. And then I went and had to deal with Brock Bowers and T. Higgins.
And then you lose, dude.
I fucking lose.
You're like the fucking...
I'm the Bills, dude, of the 90s. Like, I just have a super team getting kicked my ass kicked.
You're
every
like
weekend.
The. damn it, they scored. You're like when the Heat built that super team and they like, lost the first game, dude.
Yes. I think they lost the. I think they started 9-16.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Year.
They were rough that year.
They were bad.
So, Jordan Love, dude. Low end fantasy starter. He only dropped 9 points, 26 for 37. 273 yards, no touchdowns, and one pick. This is going to be a theme for these duds. They didn't throw touchdown passes.
Yeah.
Jordan Love, he looks like an MVP 1 week, and then the other week he just has one of these games, dude, where he just – I feel like it's a mental thing where sometimes he feels like he just can't see the field. But
– It's like almost it snowballs. Like if he doesn't start off the first couple of drives pretty – consistent and like gets into a groove, then he just falls apart as the game goes
lost
on.
Lost Tucker Kraft.
I was going to say, he also has like also nobody to throw the ball to anymore.
Dude.
Lost Kraft, lost Golden.
Yeah, who's he going to throw to? Christian Watson?
Fuck.
He's been trying to not throw to him for the last 3 years.
Romeo Doubs has had a quietly good season.
Romeo
over
Dobbs.
There.
I like
Romeo Doubs. He's been
out
a steady starter.
USC.
You're on the right coast. You don't
I,
know?
I don't know.
Come on, bro.
Oregon.
I have no idea. Really?
Dude. Oh. Damn, that guy's from
He did. Damn it, dude. I forgot that.
That was the year. That was the Garrett Wilson draft. I
was
scouted
that like
wide receivers heavily.
Is this only is that the first one D's ever missed?
No, D's missed maybe one or two.
Okay.
You don't forget the ones you missed. I think I missed Tyler Allgeier. Tyler Shaw. I don't know why he's here, but I guess because he started Welcome to the League. He looks no different than Spencer Rattler.
Put the Rattler back out there, dude.
100%, dude. 15 for 24, 176 yards. One touchdown, one pick, 9.2. It was a death matchup for him, dude. He didn't stand a chance. Like, I don't even think Vegas let you bet on this game because that's how badly we knew the Saints were going to lose, dude. And they did. They looked completely outclassed in every position from the quarterback to the water boy, dude. It wasn't even close. And then he just lost Shaheed. I mean, it's The Saints are one of those teams where, like, you had the Jets that just kind of really sold, and then the Saints just kind of gave away one of their linemen in Shaheed. It's like, is that all you can do? Like, do you really think this team's going to be able to do anything? Like, how did you not move Kamara? You know, like, but I don't
think anybody wanted to pay for Kamara.
I'll pay for him, dude.
You know, yeah, he's been asked. He's expensive. I get it, dude.
Old contract, running back. He's slow. Like, I don't know.
I mean, like, if you're Kamara, like, don't you want to play on a contender?
No, he wants to stay in New Orleans.
He wants to drink. He wants to stay in New Orleans and sip on pina coladas.
Well, according to Frank, New Orleans is dope, dude. So I would want to stay there too.
Fucking sick. I'll tell you what, I get it. I'm going back.
Oh, nice, yeah. Dude. Tua Tagovailoa, he's been a steady. So he's been steady on this list, dude. 8.5 fantasy points, 25 for 40, 261 yards and a pick.
I don't understand this entire fucking franchise, dude. I don't know how you are the worst franchise in football, not named the Jets. Like, they are just the Jets. What'd you call them? Jets West, basically?
South Jets.
They're Florida, South Jets.
Florida,
yeah.
Jets? I don't know.
Like,
Southeast Jets, dude.
They're just so fucking bad, dude. From top to bottom. From GM, scouting, water boy, quarterback. Like, just even leadership qualities out of Tua I've seen are terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know what this team is doing or what they think they're doing on a week-to-week basis.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you, dude. And honestly,
injuries. And I roll out Tua every week.
Yeah.
So fuck me.
And somehow Achane is just a plug and play guy down there.
That guy needs a fucking guy. That's another one.
Thank
free
God,
Achane.
Dude, yeah.
Free Achane.
I was worried
that
they were gonna move him and he's just gonna become a piece in this somebody's cog, you know what I mean? Like,
no, dude, imagine if he would land with the Chiefs.
God, yeah, I feel like that would fuck his fantasy value, in my opinion. Because right now, he's getting 25 touches a game, dude.
No,
like,
if you gave Andy Reid Devin Achane, you don't think he doesn't come up with the second coming of, what was his fucking name? That running back that played for the Eagles and then the Bills. Why am I blanking on his name? Shady McCoy. Similar skill set.
Yeah, but Shady McCoy didn't have Patrick Mahomes.
I know. I'm just like, I just believe in the system there.
Yeah.
And the genius ahead.
Yeah, so did I. So that's why everyone drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Nobody drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire except for you.
Everyone
and Dave
did, dude. He was the first round pick.
I was the only one that said this is a bad choice, dude.
And everyone else thought he was the next coming of Shady McCoy or fucking Brian Westbrook or whatever it was.
That was such a fuck.
For the reasons you just mentioned, for fucking his skill set and Andy
Reid.
You're
right. I guess I did just.
And he was a first round pick, dude. You could just look back and be like, oh, yeah, that was a bad
move.
You're right.
That's probably a bad move.
Like, you just told me.
I can't believe anything you say, Frank.
And then Bryce Young, dude. The Panthers won on the field, but Bryce Young, three fantasy points out of a NFL starting quarterback. Like, that's how you know you're bad, dude.
Dude, this is how you know Rico Dowdle is the shit. Is the quarterback is so fucking bad, the defense ignores him completely, and he's looking at 10-man fronts.
And go,
he's
Rico.
Still putting up Rico De Gallo numbers, baby.
That's a
Rico
sick
Rico De
Gallo.
Yeah.
Rico De Gallo.
Yeah, Bryce Young is a – I've kind of just been saying it since the start of his career.
Yeah.
He is a bust, and I think it sucks. But
you can watch someone's college tape and be like, okay, that looks good. And then the moment you see him in the NFL, you go, uh-oh, this is not going to translate.
It's another world, that NFL, dude.
I agree, man. I agree. Moving on to the running backs.
I got to do this. I got to do this, dude. I was fucking right on this. I told you guys, and this guy got drafted to Carolina, that he was not going to be that quarterback that he was at Alabama. You know why? Because he was surrounded by stars.
Yeah.
What do you have in Carolina? Fucking nothing.
Nothing.
I was right.
Yeah, we've already conceded.
Yeah, I just
want
to continue
fact,
to keep saying that.
Okay, Freddie Freeman, dude. Go post another more Freddie Freeman walk-off homers.
I will,
dude.
I'll post the one from this year.
Yeah. Listen, man, and this might sound like sour grapes, but but I told you. I was right. I was right on Bryce Young.
Told you.
Oh, man. So, moving on to the running backs. This guy's probably never been on our duds list, but it happened. It's Jahmyr Gibbs, dude.
Yeah, rough day, dude.
5.8 fantasy points, only 9 rushes for 25 yards.
0 passing game work, which is very un-Jahmyr Gibbs-like, dude.
I think the thing that I highlight the most out of this game, just if I take a step back away from just Jahmyr Gibbs, is that the offense was not fooling anybody. So historically, Ben Johnson is a very innovative play caller. And yeah. I think the problem with this game was the fact that everybody knew what was coming. It was not fucking, it was literally telegraphed, and they just stopped everything.
Yeah.
Jahmyr Gibbs, same thing with David Montgomery. I think he had 11.
Yeah. And the Vikings are a very aggressive defense, too.
They're a good defense. Yeah. Brian Flores is probably one of the best defensive coordinators in the game, and he just shut them down. And it's like, now we're starting to see the Ben Johnson diff without them, right? Like, they're just not innovative enough to overcome high end defensive coordinators, it seems like.
And I think Brian Flores knew that he can send the house, right? And I think about the Charger game because I was very nervous when the Vikings played the Chargers because you have a team with a shit O-line and it versus a team that loves to send the house. Mm-hmm. I think what Brian Flores didn't plan on was Justin Herbert being so athletic and mobile, and that blitz quickly got negated because Herbert ran all over their fucking throats. Jared Goff ain't running anywhere, dude.
Yeah, no, he's not, dude.
So Brian Flores could send the house snap after snap with confidence. Like, really quickly, he realized, like, I can't fucking send the house after Justin Herbert because all he needs to do is step up. Now everyone's past him, and then the hole's open, and there's 20 yards of open grass. And Herbert did it consistently. But Jared Goff can't go anywhere, which is why I think what the Vikings had, like, 6 or 7 sacks this game.
Yep, they came ready to play, dude.
They came ready to play, and it affected everybody, and it affected Jahmyr Gibbs. And Gibbs quietly has not been that guy.
Nope, he has not.
What, RB?
I mean, he's still RB 7.
Well, okay, prior to last shellacking, he was 4.
Yeah, and then one big goose egg dropped him, what, 4 or 5 spots?
Yeah, but we also haven't had the David Montgomery injury yet, so.
Yeah.
So Gibbs, in reality, is kind of being who Gibbs is, dude.
That was beautiful. They fucking score? Dude. Oh,
Shorthanded? Cutter again.
That was fucking beautiful.
That's a
beautiful goal there, eh, boys?
Hey, defending champs, bro. We're playing the defending champs.
Is this going to sound like sour grapes?
I'd say fuck you, Canada, but the Panthers are from Florida, so. Yeah. I got to see this real
quick.
Is going
to sound like sour grapes, eh, boys? Don't you know?
Oh, Cutter.
The Dolphins just weren't the better team. They lost to the better team, and that shouldn't have happened.
Dude, this is the kid that didn't want to play in Philadelphia, and everyone, like, of course, imagine saying you don't want to play in Philly and how the Philly fans reacted to that, dude.
They probably hated him.
Fucking Canada is just having the worst year of their lives. Their fucking team went out and got their asses kicked.
He's got a Hattie, dude.
Stanley Cup.
He's got a Hattie in this second period.
That's sick.
Damn, that's sick.
His name's Cutter. That's cool.
Cutter Gauthier, yeah.
Gauthier?
Yep.
Nice.
Anyways, Cutter Gauthier, fantasy dud for running back. Can we talk?
Sour grapes,
Let's talk in Canadian accents the rest of the show,
I couldn't even do that if I tried.
just say dude.
You just got to start for a little bit, and then it just flows naturally.
All right, let's move on to Brady's guy, eh?
Hey.
Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt.
That Bill, he's a good ball player, that Bill.
Bill Merritt, he's pretty nice, but unfortunately he dropped a dud here. He 38 yards, he hasn't been that great lately.
Mm.
Yeah, buddy, he's been like this all year.
You got it, dude! You got it, dude. That's when you know these beers are hitting us now, man.
Oh, baby.
Oh, my God.
Well, Brady, like, you own him in multiple leagues. What's all this about, dude?
Very nice.
You're going to hit me with the vowels now, the consonants? Dude. All right, I'm going to switch to American here, dude. But, dude, okay. I said off air, I think the biggest factor is the Jaden Daniels situation. Guy can't stay on the field, so obviously the defense is going to load up and stack the box. And it doesn't help that the defenses that are loading up and stacking the box have all been great run defensive teams, dude. I can't remember off the top of my head who they've played, but I know it's been the Packers,
Eagles,
the Eagles, the Seahawks. So all these teams who are stout against the run. And Bill just doesn't have any room to go anywhere, dude. When he gets the space and has the blocking, he's elusive, he's quick, he's fast, he's strong. But he's just not seeing that, dude. Too many factors working against him right now. Unfortunately, I don't see it changing anytime soon, dude, as long as Jaden Daniels is getting hurt. I don't want to say you can drop him because he still is a starting running back, but
yeah, he's probably benchable.
Definitely on your bench until he can show you something.
Yeah, I agree. I think he is stashable only because his schedule softens significantly for the fantasy playoffs.
Yes.
So I think you just have to hope that Jaden Daniels returns and the Commanders have something to play for.
Right.
That matter.
Eh. They probably won't. No.
Kamani Vidal, and this has been a theme with him, dude. Boom, bust. Boom, bust. This week, it was a bust because he boomed last week. 3 fantasy points, 12 for 30. It becomes very, very clear when the Chargers do not have a push when it comes to the running game. And this is one of those games against a weak-ass Titans team. And I expect this a theme. I expect this to be a theme moving forward.
But the Titans defensive line, even though Justin Simmons was not there, is still pretty damn good.
It's the fucking Titans.
I understand that, but you got to look at matchups. And I think that that was a fucking recipe for him to have a bad game to start. Like and that was going to be a Justin Herbert game. You know what I'm saying?
And I think on top of it, the D-line being better, I also think just the fact that that game was oddly competitive.
Yes.
And the Chargers were losing for at least half the game. So
yes,
it's like,
dude, I'm telling you.
They had to throw the ball.
Pressure in Justin Herbert's face. Like,
this is the difference between Greg Roman's offense this year and last year. Like last year, he was like, I got to run no matter what. This year, he's quick to abandon the run and be like, pass, 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 pass.
Yeah.
Alvin Kamara, 0.7 fantasy points.
Oh, baby.
If we had a
this
true
is
producer.
Who you're targeting?
If we just need a body, dude.
Bro, you're better off leaving no body.
That's what
in
I'm
there,
saying.
In there, dude.
This guy's one fumble away from taking points away from you.
Yeah. Kamara is dead. Can we say it? If we had a soundboard guy, this is the time we'd play that music. Like
Cooper Kupp, dead. Kamara, dead. It's fantasy heroes of our.
Predictable, but yeah. In the end, it's right. I hope you had the time of your life.
We did, dude.
It was a great run, dude. It was a great, great run. The team is bad. He's not even a focal point of the offense.
They just rolled in a new quarterback.
A new quarterback, a new. They're shipping off a shitty lineman who was probably their best lineman because he was a first round pick. It's all downhill from here. If you have Alvin Kamara, this is your, I don't know, whatever you call it. This is your PSA to bench him. Put him down. Alvin Kamara owners, put him down. Be respectable about it. Put him on your bench. Don't just drop him.
Give him that sleepy pill first so he's
but
nice.
But it's time to take him out, dude. If you have him in Dynasty, I want you to look back and think of all the memories.
Dude, I shipped him out.
Think of Christmas.
Thank God.
Think of week 17 when he scored 5 touchdowns and dropped 50 points.
Oh,
what a day. That wasn't that long ago.
Damn, bro, he's tied for the goal lead.
But Father Time never fucking loses. See Tom Brady. Yeah, it was a great run. It was a great, great run. Jonathan Taylor, it finally happened. They ran into a buzzsaw of a defense, which is why I'm nervous about the Chargers. 7.7 fantasy points, 14 for 45. They trailed most of this game, and that's something that the Colts have not done all year. So I think for the Colts, you just have to hope this is more of a blip game, which I think it is.
I think so, too. Shane Steichen is incredible.
Great offensive
adjustments.
Line.
They went out there. They just got their shit kicked in, dude. And it starts in the fucking trenches. Like, their offensive line got bullied, which explains why Jonathan Taylor didn't get any rushing yards. Daniel Jones didn't have much time.
Oh! Fuck yeah! Hell yeah! Fuck you. Sorry, dude. Go ahead.
Jonathan Taylor didn't have any fucking room to run. Blipping the fucking schedule. They're going to correct it. Fucking offensive line's going to be fine next week. Expect Jonathan Taylor to put up another 30-burger.
This game's fireworks right now, bro.
This is a dope game.
The Ducks can fucking score. I'll give you that.
What's the problem with the team this year?
Nothing.
There is no problem.
They're pretty good.
They're actually tied for first.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
Yeah, this is the...
I'm more of a Kings fan, but okay.
Yeah, this is the year. This is the year we're not rebuilding.
I'm a winning team fan.
I'm more of a...
That Chalks, Dodger fan, Kings fan? Yeah, Chalks.
I root for the team that the house that Kobe built. played in. So
I like it, dude.
Okay. Yeah. I'm more of a
sadness fan.
I'm more of a poverty fan myself.
I'm more of a Coach Bombay guy, dude.
Hell yeah.
Tony Pollard, 7.8. You know, it's watching that game, dude. The Titans just look like they just look like the Jets. They look like the Midwest Jets, dude. Like, you could just tell that team's just not well run. Very early on, there was a drive where they kept hitting the outside zone with Tony Pollard, and it worked. First down, first down, first down. And then they just stopped doing it. They didn't try. It's not like the Chargers stopped it. They just stopped running outside. And I think he would have been a great trade candidate. But now he's left to fucking kill himself and Tajay Spears.
I heard that Tony was in the rumors to get moved to...
That would have been...
But
yeah, New England, right?
I could have got. I just would have fucked more shit up. So who cares?
God, poor Travion. Is he on here? No. That's surprising.
He had a decent game. He had like 12, 13 points.
Decent. Kenneth Walker, 8 points, 11 for 42. This was the Sam Darnold game, dude. And when it comes to the running backs, like, there's no three down back in that offense, dude. They split the work, dude.
They just choose not to use him.
Yeah, this is very true, dude.
Zach Charbonnet, he's the three down back.
Oh, Zach.
I think Zach is a three down back. I think he's better. I think he's faster. I think he's more explosive. Like, this is another candidate that I thought might have gotten moved at the trade deadline is Kenneth Walker. Because I think Zach Charbonnet slides into exactly what everything Kenneth Walker could do, except the fact that he doesn't get fucking hurt every 3 weeks.
I don't know what they see. I don't know what they're seeing behind the scenes with Zach Charbonnet, because Kenneth Walker clearly looks like he can do it, but he's just too injury prone. So that's why they have to keep Zach Charbonnet around.
Yep.
Like, and
see,
it's a draft capital thing where, like, no, we can't flip them because then we just look like idiots.
No, I see something very opposite in the sense that Kenneth Walker to me looks a lot slower than Zach Charbonnet. Huh. So they just fucking use that guy and grind him between. And then come red zone, Zach Charbonnet is getting all the looks.
Yeah, I haven't watched enough Seahawks games, honestly.
Somehow I have watched a lot.
Well, you have Charbonnet, and you have to start him.
Hell yeah,
dude. Yeah.
To the receivers, Chris Olave. All I have on this is he's a saint. Brian Thomas. All I have on this is I told you so.
Yeah.
He did get injured. But it's much of the same, dude. Like, Trevor Lawrence is kind of spreading the ball around. Like, he's only throwing, like, this team's winning, but they're not. They don't look good doing it.
Yeah, they're
every
gross,
game's
dude.
Ugly as fuck, dude. Like, Trevor Lawrence is literally 16 for 30, 200 yards, one passing touchdown. Oh, where are all of his fantasy points coming from? Oh, he runs.
One trip over his feet.
Yeah, and he also has 50 yards on the ground and a rushing touchdown, and he's quarterback 12. Like, that is exactly what Trevor Lawrence is, dude. He's got no favorites on that team. He's spreading the ball around. Brian Thomas is dealing with injuries, dealing with drops. He's not the same guy. I fucking told you so. Keenan Allen, 6.1. There's days where they need him, and there's days where they don't. Keenan Allen has become Mr. Dependable when it comes to third down. Unfortunately, if you're trying to start Keenan Allen, he's not showing himself to be like Justin Herbert's true alpha. And honestly, Justin Herbert throughout the season has jumped to multiple points in this offense.
He's a whore, dude.
Huge whore. It was Ladd a couple weeks ago. It was a round day for 2 weeks. It was QJ at the start of the season.
Yeah.
And it was Keenan at the start of the season as well, dude. So
what does that tell you?
Start Justin Herbert.
Well, yes, it's more like as the offensive line gets worse, Keenan Allen and players like QJ, whose intermediate to deep routes take longer to develop, suffocate.
And let's just get to Ladd, too, dude. Like, Ladd, 9.6, right? And it was one of those weird days where, like, the Chargers won the game, but...
What a bust this year, dude. Ladd.
I couldn't tell you where the points were coming from, man.
I also
stayed far away from Ladd, bro. I just had a feeling. I don't have a choice because he's in my dynasty team, but...
Yeah.
But, adding Keenan and adding two receivers that we thought that what they drafted,
KLS and
and then Aronde, like, okay, that's a large influx of weapons. And I think the Keenan move really spoke volumes. Like, okay, like they trust Ladd, but they don't trust him completely.
Yeah, he's white, dude.
You know, and
Watch your mouth.
They're just moving the ball around too much, dude. He's sharing the love. He's sharing it too much. I think if anything, this will be a lad game. I think they're gonna have to eat in the slot. Cause like you said, they're gonna have to use that short.
See,
game,
it's
dude.
Gonna be lad and Aronde.
I hope so. But Aronde does his damage down the field.
He can,
but he does both.
He seems like a check down almost sometimes.
He does a bit of both, but like I guess his splash plays are all downfield.
Right, correct. So don't start QJ this week because he ain't going to have time to get
that
ball
down. This is a bad
QJ
game unless you're me and you don't have a fucking choice. Party. So,
dude, do you know where the hats go on a hat trick?
Yeah, the trash. I don't know.
Aren't the fans just going to back at like the end of the game?
Fuck no, dude. That hat's gone.
Yeah, that's what I think too. But like,
would you throw your hat out there?
This Angel hat? Fuck yeah, dude. I want to get rid of any Angel shit I can if I can, dude.
Gosh.
Yeah. Not this one, but most of them I would.
I went to the San Diego Goals, and they scored 9 goals that night.
That's tight.
Yeah. And everybody threw their hats on there, and I'm like, I'm not throwing my $45 hat I just got onto the fucking ice.
Yeah, if it's a melon hat, it's not fucking going.
Yeah, I bought one there, yeah. And I was...
A minor league hockey game, dude? Yeah. That's going to some fucking homeless dude down the street.
I just bought this.
They're
going to
dump that shit on Rosecrans and be like, here you go,
I wore
dude.
It for fucking years, dude.
Yeah. And you know what the homeless guy's going to use it for? A shitter, dude. Yeah. He's not going to wear the hat. He's going to shit in it.
That hat? It's a fucking dump. It's a dump truck now somewhere, dude.
100%, dude. All right, let's wrap this up with the tight ends. And this one makes me smile. Evan Engram, because he's a Bronco. 0 fucking points. He had 3 targets. I hope you're not starting this guy for fantasy, bro. He's been so fucking hot and cold.
He's been bad, dude.
He's been really bad, which is why the Broncos were out there allegedly looking for tight ends. David Njoku was getting linked to them.
Really?
Yeah.
That would have been a nice pickup for them.
Fuck no. Chigakwankwo, 3
What did you just say?
Fuck no. Chigakwankwo, 3 fantasy points, tough Chargers defense. Cam Ward's fucking... If you thought Bryce Young was bad, see Cam Ward. The difference is I think Cam Ward has some dog in him where I think Bryce Young's going to roll over and just let his career end.
His career's over.
But there's no hiding it. Cam's on the... He's well on his way, dude.
Dude, Cam...
Cam Ward looks like Malik Tennessee or Malik Willis from the
Titans. He looks like ass, dude. Yeah. But when you're in your rookie,
literally.
Like, I almost want to say you get a pass when you start as a first overall pick your rookie year because we know that team is dog shit. Like,
yeah.
We knew
the Titans were bad.
Like, they look fucking bad.
They
so
look
like
really bad.
I like don't want to be like, okay, Cam, you're a bust yet. But with Bryce. Bryce has looked bad in, like, different ways, I guess. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Well, yeah, Bryce is on, year 3?
Yeah, well, yeah, he's year 3, but, like, even he has never looked good. Never once flashed in my eyes, except for, like, a small part at the end of, like, last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we haven't talked about Cam Ward much other than whenever he's a dud, which is pretty much every week. But
that's why we stopped putting him on there.
Yeah, but... Yeah, man, it does not look good. I trust Cam. I think it's going to get better. Like, to me, I'm like, I see an NFL quarterback there. Like, if the situation was different.
We also did say in the beginning that, like, we see this team is going to go through, they're going to fire their head coach. They're going to fire their offensive coordinator. They're going to go through massive turnover after this first season.
Yeah, they're going to get a new head coach.
So it's going to be a bit chaotic, but I think Cam has something there.
Maybe John Gruden, dude. He's ready.
Whoa. I think that guy's having too much fun at Barstool, dude.
I hope he goes to college.
And getting paid too much money.
Yeah, I hope probably. He goes to college, dude. Oh, my God.
You know what they need to do?
Take the LSU game,
Bill
dude.
Bill Belichick out of that shit fucking situation he is over there.
Bill Belichick, I think, is just fucked no matter where he goes, dude.
Dude, just come on over to Tennessee. Who gives a fuck, dude?
Yeah, his girlfriend's coaching the team. George Kittle, dude. The problem with George Kittle is... Him and Mac Jones don't get along. And for as long as Mac Jones is the starting quarterback, George Kittle is going to be on this list, dude.
I hate Mac Jones.
I guarantee the moment Brock Purdy comes back, George Kittle, boop, it's going to happen, dude.
I hate Mac Jones.
Mac Jones is so good at just throwing the ball to CMC and just fucking hitting
Hit him CMC. Yeah, just keep saying it, dude. Kendrick Bourne over and over again. Yeah.
Oh. Funny enough, dude, it almost seems like Mac Jones appears to be the better quarterback for that system than Brock Purdy at times. Does that make sense? Because all Mac Jones really needs to do is just kind of play in your system. And sometimes what you notice with Brock Purdy that he has done where he has failed is he tries to get out of himself, tries to do a little more.
I don't think this is a Kyler Murray, Jacoby Brissett situation, but...
No, I'm not saying that.
No.
Because that's very evident.
No, but
there.
You're right. You're right, you though. But to your point, Mac Jones is winning.
Yes.
In the system, and he's looked good doing it. Yes. So there is no need to rush Brock Purdy back.
Exactly.
Right?
So we're another soft benching.
Kinda, dude. Like, no, I wouldn't even say it's a soft benching, but it's
not. Because they paid Brock.
Like,
or,
yes, they just paid Brock, so. And they're probably like, fuck, we just paid Brock, and now this guy's doing just as well as Brock.
We could have given fucking Mac less than $500,000 for fucking, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because Brock is, he's got much different qualities than Mac.
He does.
Right? Like, he's way more athletic.
More of a gamer.
I mean, yeah, he's got more of a gamer. I think he's got a faster processor, but Brock takes more risks. And I think what we've seen out of Brock lately as he's become more comfortable being the guy in San Francisco is, in a way, he's kind of gotten worse because now he's taking more risks.
Exactly.
You know,
and it's like you're starting to play out of what you were good at, which is hindering the entire outcome of your system and your team.
Exactly.
Where Mac Jones is like, I don't really know what I'm doing, but I know
so,
that I'm going to go.
Coach says ABC, so I'll go ABC.
Not a problem. Yeah.
Exactly, dude. Which is why there are so many rumors that the Niners were going to draft. They liked Mac Jones, but they went with Trey Lance because they're like, no. Kyle was like, Mac Jones is perfect for what I want to do. And the Niners owner was like, no, we need to take Trey Lance, bro. He could run and throw. But anyways. And then lastly, Tyler Warren. And this kind of just goes to the Colts having a tough day at the office, man.
Yeah.
I saw something that said the Steelers factory reset Daniel Jones. And that was that was a good way to describe it because I think he had like 3 or 4 turnovers.
Yeah,
he looked like Daniel Jones.
But Tyler Warren was a product of Daniel Jones having a bad game.
100%.
That good defense. He only 5 catches still. They tried to get him the ball. He only went 26 yards.
It's fair to say that like Jonathan Taylor's success has come because of the fact that people started to be aware of Daniel Jones early on in the season, right?
Right.
And it's kind of like because of that, Jonathan Taylor has almost taken off and like regained that MVP like season that he had. But every once in a while, you're gonna get that Daniel Jones game.
Yeah.
So.
And it happened.
Yeah, I think better days are ahead.
Oh yeah, it is what it is. So he's a plug and play starter.
You heard it here first. Start your Colts.
Fire up your Colts. Bold prediction. They're not the worst offense in the league.
That's my favorite fucking bold prediction.
That and the Roshan Johnson's going to lead the league in touchdowns.
Oh my god, the Roshan Johnson one. I forgot about that. But
that was a bad one, but I stand by it, dude.
So was the Michael Thomas one.
That was also a bad one.
Yeah.
That one looked good for 2 weeks.
Like, oh, my God. All right, boys. That's what we got.
That's it.
All right. Late.
Late.